Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are live here. It is Friday, and of course, it is the 23rd day of September 2011, and we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. We have an absolutely jam-packed radio broadcast lined up for you today. Paul Joseph Watson is joining us with a news story that is just so incredible. And it's even more incredible because the New York Times, the BBC, they all admit openly that it's true, but basically just whitewash it and say that it's no big deal. And that, of course, is World Bank-funded troops going in and slaughtering people and burning down their houses in the name of the environment. And this is the new Green Army system that is being promoted worldwide. Just a month ago, the United Nations came out and said, we're going to have a new Green Army that responds to governments that pollute. You'll be invaded. Of course, the globalists themselves, when nuclear reactors blow up, they'll just tell you radiation's good for you, or when they genetically modify the crops that openly sterilize all the mammal species that are fed it. That won't be a problem. It's just if they want your resources, they're going to say you're an environmental criminal. And they're also going to invade areas that are having crises because of climate change. Amazing information that is all coming up today. And we'll be going over that amazing article that is at Infowars.com. Also, I learned of this yesterday. A lot of people have known about it for weeks. We're so busy with the nightly news and tracking all the economic developments and military developments that we didn't notice this big, massive 81 agency, but now we learn it's actually over 100, giant federal takeover drill taking place in Denver. And they normally have some of the biggest federal takeover drills in Denver. They've had top off one, top off two. National level exercises have been based there before, and Aaron Dykes and Dara McBreen, I put them on a plane last night. They've been shooting videos since last night and uploading it to our YouTube channel and to PrisonPlanet.tv throughout the evening, and Kurt Nimmo has a big report up there on site for you on that front. They're going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour with a live report on the ground from Denver, Operation Mountain Guardian, simulated terrorism in Denver, with the military on the streets, with the police, and all the local agencies. There's the headline at PrisonPlanet.com. Martial law drill commences as economy begins descent. Continuing, here's another one. Oh my gosh, Operation Mountain Guardian terrorist attack response drill will take place tomorrow. Again, this is all out of the news. Yesterday, we have our people there on the ground, and they're going to be reporting for us. Also, you know that, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, Aaron Zellman, head of a great pro-Second Amendment group, Jews of Preservation of Firearms Ownership, died. And he hadn't made a big deal out of it. I didn't even know he was sick with cancer, but he did die. We're going to have the new head of the group, David Ben Dory, will be joining us. He's also a rabbi. And we'll be discussing the Second Amendment with him for about 30 minutes, start of the next hour. And then, of course, Bob Chapman, as usual, joins us. And I'm probably going to air some excerpts from last night's InfoWars Nightly News here while Chapman's on with us with Sherry Tenpenny, where she agreed that it looks like there's evidence the Gardasil is actually an autoimmune weapon purposefully designed to implant the cancer virus into the DNA of the body. So we'll be breaking that down as well coming up. It's a jam-packed transmission. We'll also watch the continued meltdown of the stock market. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us. An extremely important transmission lined up for you on this live Friday edition. It is the 23rd day of September 2011. Of course, I'll be back tonight, 7 p.m. Central, with an in-depth analysis of what's happening with the economy and so much more tonight with InfoWars Nightly News, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. My head is spinning right now with the news. Obviously, the stock market is continuing the plunge that it began yesterday on word of this new manipulation of the bond market, which, in my view, is a form of quantitative easing, and more signals that official quantitative easing or monetization of debt and issuance of more currency is going to commence. Greek default talk gathers pace. G20 is saying they need another bailout to the central bankers and need Europe to hand over what sovereignty it has left to the private banking cartel. Michael Moore is threatening the rich, saying let's deal with it nonviolently now or it's going to get violent. What the man worth hundreds of millions is actually doing is saying let's get rid of the middle class and transfer all the money offshore, or we're going to use our communist forces who are idiots to rob what's left of the middle class. That's basically what's happening. Pressure from above and below. The ultra rich use the welfare queens as their army to threaten to burn down cities if they don't destroy what's left of the middle class. And Michael Moore knows full well exactly what he's doing. That's why the establishment puts him out there and finances him. Also, Ahmadinejad obviously spoke at the UN yesterday, and there was a big U.S.-Israel walkout. He brought up the World Trade Center's controlled demolition, and as an engineer, as thousands of other engineers have said, it's clearly controlled demolition. So now the spin is you're, you know, a Iranian Revolutionary Guard supporter if you understand the laws of physics. You know, you watch Building 7 fall in its own footprint. You see the police say, get back, they're going to blow it up. The firefighters say there were bombs in there. The deputy head of emergency management says there's bombs. You're supposed to ignore all that and just say, well, Ahmadinejad says it looks like it's a controlled demolition, so it must not be. So the media is seizing upon that. There's just so much we're going to be covering today. Rabbi David Ben-Dori, the new head of Jews, the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, a great Second Amendment group, and we're sad at the passing in the last year of Aaron Zellman, the director of it. He's going to be popping in with his take on Fast and Furious and some updates on that briefly in the next hour. Then, of course, Bob Chapman is joining us. I went ahead and sent reporters yesterday to this giant martial law drill, and that's what it is. Last year, I sent Rob Dube and Jason Douglas, our reporters, up to Illinois, where they practice putting citizens in the sports stadium and taking over shopping malls, and the military was involved. Same thing's happening here. And I decided to do this yesterday at about 2 o'clock. The guys were on a plane at 6. They'd already shot more than 10 reports last night that are all up at InfoWars.com already. Interviews with Homeland Security people, you name it. Helicopters, all of it's up there. They're in a school drill right now. But all of this is about creating the perception of fear, about creating the perception that terrorism is real, this new rollout, branding away from Al-Qaeda to domestic, mainly Tea Party, anti-globalist groups. That was going on behind the scenes for years. Now it's a public rollout with the white Al-Qaeda as the new branding. If you don't like globalism, well, A, you must be white because nobody else could be anti-globalist or pro-liberty. So it already divides people and makes a pro-constitution movement white, as MSNBC talking points say, and now Homeland Security. And then not only are you white, which of course is bad nowadays, but you're also a terrorist. So all of that is going on. Continuing, they were reporting 81 agencies. Now they're reporting, we have a sheriff's department document that Kurt Nemo has written about. It's now more than 100. And at the end of the day, it's a fear-mongering federalization takeover exercise. We'll be talking to Aaron Dykes and Darren McBrain coming up. But we'll just get them on both of their cell phones and just see which one is the best from on the ground there. I talked to Aaron right before I went live. It sounded pretty good where he was at. Continuing here, Perry caught in blatant lie over support for bailouts. That's big news. Also, Perry came out in the debate last night and said Look, I am for state and tuition for illegal aliens. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens from California or Oklahoma, if they move to Texas, don't get in-state tuition. Why did Perry support it and got an award from Vicente Fox for it? And he said, you know, you got to have a heart. Really, if I go to Mexico illegally, they will put me in hard labor for 6 to 12 months, literally in dirt floor facilities, and if my family doesn't send money, I will be allowed to starve to death. Mexico admits this. In fact, you can type in, Mexico admits they have harsh immigration laws. Some of the harshest. North Korea maybe is worse. Literally. So can I go down to Mexico and get some in-state tuition? Come on. Give it to me. Oh, no. See, there's this American guilt. There's this guilt. And don't worry, we're bankrupting. We're falling apart. We're a joke. And we've got 800-plus sanctuary cities where the illegals are allowed to drink and drive, do whatever they want. It's on record. So that's all coming up. And Perry's been caught, again, lying and saying he didn't support the bailouts. Mitt Romney supported him. Bill O'Reilly supported him. Who else supported him of the neocondom? Glenn Beck supported him. They all supported him. All of them except Michael Savage. Every single stinking one of them at the key point supported it. Michael Savage certainly isn't perfect, but he will say the government's getting ready to stage terror attacks and that we shouldn't be for the bailout. So I give credit where credit's due. All the rest of them supported the bailouts. And now, 3.5 years later, they hope you don't remember and notice, but Steve Watson's got the video clips and the quotes. Oh, I'm sorry, Perry. Now, all of this pales in significance to the next piece of news by Paul Joseph Watson at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. This is some of the most important news that I have covered in a long time. Now, I remember a couple months ago, the London Guardian and others reported that the UN had announced a new Green Army that will invade countries that quote or engage in environmental crimes. Now, if you're a globalist-run system, which is most countries, you can have reactors blow up. They'll just say it's nutritional, splice all the different plants together that sterilizes all the mammals it's tested on, GMO, it's great, bisphenol A and all the major products, the soup cans, you name it. That's all part of the plan. They're saying they will invade your country. The UN just got done invading Ivory Coast a few months ago, and admittedly, the rebels killed tens of thousands and took over. And it's a UN takeover for the diamonds in that case. Now, the New York Times and others admit this is going on. This article, when you hear this is admitted, but they just basically whitewash it. Kind of like this LA Times article, 30,000 mostly black Libyans flee a single town. There are giant mass graves, and in some cases, giant dead piles of black people, black Libyans, the Al-Qaeda forces that NATO's put in, are publicly engaged in a massacre that will soon reach Rwandan proportions. We told you about this 6 months ago. It had begun. Now it's just pell-mell, kill any black you come across. And again, the liberals will have a heart attack if somebody doesn't hand over their bank account. They'll say, give us your bank account, give us government health care, give the foreign banks all your money or you're racist. And whites just slip their wrist and go, I'm guilty. Take everything I've got. Give it to Al Gore. Meanwhile, the UN all over the world is slaughtering, quote, minorities, which are the majority globally. And it's part of a racist eugenics program. And LA Times, it's just mass murder, total death. New York Times admits it. But don't worry. David Cameron has gone to the United Nations. David, and we're going to Paul here in a moment, into the next segment. He's gone to the United Nations and said, yes, let's invade more countries under humanitarian auspices. So they fund rebels, they rebel, the government fights back, the population fights back, NATO bombs the country for 5-6 months and invades and then slaughters any minority group and then calls it loving and liberal because a peace prize president's running it. After all, he's part black, so it must be good. Again, this is all political correctness, like a sick mental illness. Now, here's the latest news. They invade your country over environmental reasons. They invade your country over humanitarian reasons, having rebels try to overthrow it. Here's Paul Watson's headline, and it's all true. Armed troops burn down homes, kill children to evict Ugandans in name of global warming. And the mainstream news actually says, well, it's for the earth. Line up the family, shoot them, burn them, kill everybody. It's a program to come in and displace the people to, quote, plant trees as part of their carbon allotment. And Paul Watson joins us. We're going to break in a moment, Paul. But what's even more incredible than the UN-backed forces murdering people, Paul, is that the media is like, well, it's okay. This is loving. This is a sacrament of death, Paul.
Well, I mean, just look at the headline that the New York Times puts on top of this astounding story. In scramble for land, group says, company pushed Ugandans out. Just gently pushed them out. And then you actually read what the villagers reported was done, burning down homes, killing children, beating people up, threatening to shoot them in the head if they resist, you know, just gently pushing them out. And of course, this is all being run under the order of the World Bank and other banks like HSBC, transnational corporations. It's called the New Forests Company, and it's basically working with the brutal Ugandan government. They've evicted more than 20,000 Africans and also people in South America from their land. Basically, little warning, no compensation, armed troops turn up, set everybody's houses on fire, beat and kill anyone who resists. There's a report of children being killed in this New York Times article.
But that's a gentle, you know, push. That's a nudge, Paul.
Just a gentle push,
and
yeah.
We wonder why we have 30 million illegal aliens here. This was done in the 80s and 90s all over southern and central Mexico. On record, they came and took land that people been on for thousands of years under a UN program. They even had rebellions in Yucatan over it. We'll be right back to break this down. This is the loving, liberal genocide that you love so much. And they say it's for the earth. Oh, so loving. Oh. Think about how incredible this is, how off the charts. Cameron and the UN, the Prime Minister of England and the UN, are openly in the news yesterday saying we're going to have more humanitarian interventions like Libya, Ivory Coast, and others. They're talking about Syria. And it's on record the West is funding rebels in all these countries to try to overthrow them. They're going into Libya, and now it's been admitted for weeks, what we told you 6 months ago. They are murdering blacks on site who live in North Africa, who are part of the country. They are killing them. I saw a report where they shot toddlers and killed them yesterday in the Associated Press because their names, last names were Gaddafi. It's basically like Jones or Smith in Libya. Very common name. And they just killed them. I mean, this is what's... They got them at the airport? Caught them at the airport? They just lined them up and shot them. That was in the news yesterday, and it's like, oh, this is so humanitarian. And now I'm reading the New York Times and others, and they're like, well, yeah, World Bank-run company, and they just say when they come into an area, oh, we're doing this to plant trees. It's for a forest. And basically, we've seen this over and over again with the UN, Agenda 21, UN biosphere zones. They go and enforce the indigenous populations out. This is incredible. Paul Watson, please continue with your report. Hold on, company. We're going to get you. You need to start over. I'm sorry, you weren't faded up. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the New Forests Company, which is a British company. Its primary investor is the World Bank. It's run by the current HSBC managing director. And also on its board of directors are several investment bankers, including one who worked for Goldman Sachs. Basically, they make money out of seizing the land of poor villages in Africa primarily, planting trees and then selling the carbon offsets to transnational corporations who can then, quote, pollute. And of course, the cost is merely passed on to us, the consumer. And then afterwards, they just chop down the trees and sell them for timber anyway. So you've got this group, which is basically run by the World Bank. It's a World Bank front working in alliance with the Ugandan government and the army. They show up at villages, threaten people to get out of their homes. If they don't, they kill them. They set the homes on fire. And then they, for example, in this one village, which is mentioned in the New York Times article, the school where the kids were taught, which of course is very important in Africa where education is so lacking. The school is now the headquarters for this British sustainability company. So they ransack entire villages and towns. Farmers have the whole plantations destroyed. There's one case in a Guardian article, which is about the same issue, where the guy talks about, you know, he was growing bananas, he was growing sugar canes, he was feeding his children. Now he's, you know, the poorest guy there. And the malaria, malnutrition, all exploding as a result of this. And it's, again, it's neo-colonialism under the guise of protecting against global warming. This is killing the African dream of development and a reasonable standard of living through global warming hysteria, which is all run by transnational banks and corporations who invoke this climate change con to raise villages and steal land so they can take a slice of this multi-billion-dollar carbon trading Ponzi scheme.
And Paul, as the 1948 British Royal Commission admitted, it was adopted by the U.S. government as policy on record. We cover it in Endgame. They said, if we let the third world industrialize, they'll stop having as many kids. But we're going to block them from industrializing. They're going to have a bunch of kids. But then we'll just mitigate with birth control and land use and use food as a weapon, as Kissinger repeated in 73, in State Department Memorandum 200. And so this is so cold-blooded, just like the carbon taxes in Copenhagen, we learned, were right at double what they would be on the third world, what they would be on the West. This is a death sentence by a bunch of eugenicists, but as long as they say they're liberal, it's okay. And trendies all over Austin have carbon offset stickers on their cars and pay money to these very groups so they can run around mass murdering black people. They love it, too. I mean, you tell a liberal, they're like, good, murder them all. There's too many. I'm liberal. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, progressives who hyperventilate about, you know, global warming impacting poor people the most and how we need to reduce our living standards, when global warming alarmism itself is not just reducing the living standards of the poor, it's starving them to death. I mean, look at biofuels. You've got countries like Swaziland and Haiti, where they're living on mud pies. You know, food prices double because all these transnational corporations
Paul,
are seizing
stay
the
there.
Land.
Stay there. We're going to Aaron. We're going to get him online now, but I want you to finish when we come back. This is part of a larger program, and I want to tie it in, as you were just doing, with the Copenhagen Treaty, with the biofuels, admittedly killing millions more every year via starvation. And you bring this up to a liberal trendy, they'll just go, I'm not a liberal trendy. Okay? I mean, they're really Nazis, and they love it. It's so much fun for them. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. Paul Watson is here with us. When you hear me start hyperventilating and getting angry and calling the globalists scum, I'm just being real. I am here basically attempting to get you to wake up and get out of your trance. I want to explain something. The eugenicists said in the 50s, Hitler embarrassed us. We're going to now say we're a green movement and we're going to cut off the resources to the third world. We do not want them to develop, so we're going to let them overpopulate, even from their perspective. You can debate whether it's overpopulated or not. It's a cold-blooded, militarized attack. And now all over the world, I've been there, Mexico, you name it, they come in and force the people off their ancestral land who are living sustainably, in nature, happily. They herd them into the cities. They give them the vaccines. Mexico City's got 35 million people. Something like 20% of the children are born with a syndrome where their brain is underdeveloped, and they don't ever even talk or move. They're just vegetables. And the parents just take care of these coma creatures. I mean, you can look that up. That's even in PBS documentaries. Total toxic waste. It's the same thing all over the place. And then they build the cheap widgets that we buy that break before you even get out of the box. Most things, if I actually buy it on the road at Walmart, if I have to, breaks within 5 minutes. I mean, I'm shocked when I buy something at a Target or a Walmart that actually works more than once. I bought a bottle opener the other day when I was out of town, made in China. It's all they had at the gas station, and it didn't work. It wouldn't open bottles. It wasn't even the right size. It's complete idiocy with suicide nets around the buildings where the iPads are made. Now, they're forcing them all off into the big cities where they then have to go on UN UNICEF assistance. Then you give money to, help the starving black kids, and then that's vaccines and HIV. They've caught the UN adding to it, and sterilants and all this garbage. All this garbage while they block industrialization. It is an incredible death sentence. And this article needs to be gotten out to everyone. To everyone. I'm going to be reporting on it more tonight on InfoWars Nightly News at 7 o'clock. We're also going to get in tonight on the show to all these women shaving their heads for cancer awareness and men doing it and all the jogs and runs and events, but never talking about why is cancer tripled in most types. I keep saying doubled the last 10 years. I'm sorry. I went and looked at the numbers again, and on most types, it's tripled since 1980. Breast cancer right at tripled, other types, some have quadrupled, some are up sevenfold, tenfold, lung cancer in women, sevenfold, even though smoking's way down. By the way, I see disinformation campaigns. I was on Russia Today a few days ago, and I saw a commenter, and it's always the same dummy channel, saying, Alex Jones is a liar, I checked his facts, Switzerland is not the wealthiest country per capita. And then I saw the same dummy accounts responding, going, yes, I checked it, he's a liar. I was debating, you know, globalism and neutrality and how neutrality's always a good policy, as George Washington said, with the host. And I thought, well, I've known that for years, but let me check and make sure I'm wrong. I thought Luxembourg isn't really technically a country. It's a parking spot for the elite. But per capita, it's not as wealthy as Switzerland. And I said, I know Norway's close. Boom, pulled it up. World Factbook. Switzerland, for more than 20 years running, the wealthiest per capita country, over $217,000 adjusted dollars, even more in Swiss francs a year. So I see this continued disinfo campaign, not by people that don't like me, but they admit they have these programs through Cass Sunstein, the White House PR firms, but dummy accounts with no information, just saying everything I'm saying is a lie, and it's a hoax. It's a hoax. So just look for that and see that and know that web-wide, no one is attacked like yours truly. And I ought to be glad. At least they're just doing that, not killing me. Okay? They're trying to assassinate my character. And that's fine. Because I don't care about myself. There's no future if we don't beat these people. Okay? But when I tell you the UN's been caught worldwide hundreds of times adding sterilants to vaccines, I had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We're going to Aaron in a moment after Paul finishes. I had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on yesterday. I'd interview her 10 years ago, and she wouldn't say it's on purpose. They're trying to kill us, world government. Now she's read all the documents, the Rockefeller documents. Now she sees 13 different manufacturers, Merck, making their vaccine, 13 labs making it, all of them on purpose, clearly had the adjuvant bound to the full virus, not an attenuated, and it's really meant to implant the virus inside the DNA of the body. And that's what all the medical scientists who've looked at it are saying. And I said to her, is this not staged? And she said, no, it's clearly staged. I mean, boom, right there. People are really facing the horror. Only facing it. Only facing it is going to defeat these people. I mean, even 2 years ago, she wasn't going that far. Only facing it is going to defeat them, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just so upset. Armed troops burn down homes, kill children to evict Ugandans in the name of global warming. And as Watson pointed out, this World Bank profit company that Al Gore and all of them are involved in, this company and other similar ones, and I literally see trendies all over Austin with, my car is offset. Like, I'm trendy. I'm driving a car, but it's offset. I'm paying thousands to these companies. And I've tried to talk to them on the street, and I'll say, listen, do you understand this is about population reduction? And they'll just say, I don't want to talk to you. And I'll say, come on, just let me talk to you on my iPhone real quick. Let me just explain. Okay, just look up the 1948-49 British Population Commission. Please, please. And they're just like, no, go listen to Rush Limbaugh. And I'm like, I'm not with Rush Limbaugh. They just will not listen. They do. And it's like, look, they're L.A. Times, 30,000 blacks fleeing one town, tens of thousands of dead blacks everywhere. They're hacking up men, women, and children. It's genocide. It's wrong. And they just go, I don't care. I am liberal. I am trendy. Obama launched it. The U.N. wants it. Give it to me. You people are sick, disgusting filth. All right, I'm sorry. You're a bunch of scum. And the high up ones know what they're doing, but the mid-level, low-level ones are like modern 21st century neo-Nazis and are so brainwashed, they don't even know it with the hippie hair and the patchouli and the sandals. And they're just a mechanized army that's almost unstoppable. And they will not listen. They do not care. And I don't care if you got tattoos, sandals, cowboy hats. I'm not into how you look. I'm just saying, it's Paul, I know I'm ranting here. Finish your points about this full spectrum analysis, how it's a total shut off of world resources, which will make us all deathly poor, dependent on government, so they can force their way on us. But for the third world, it is a total death sentence. They're really moving. It's official U.S. and U.N. policy, and we've got to stop this mass murder. I know it's trendy and a sacrament for the left to kill brown people while you tell us to give up all of our rights and guns and have government health care to euthanize us, or we don't like brown people. I understand your guilt trip garbage, and I'm done with it. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I mean, you know, it was Obama's very first decision when he got into the White House to increase funding to provide abortions for black children in the third world. So, yeah, I mean, all of these liberals and trendies go about their business saying, oh, it's to protect the poor, to protect black people. And they're supporting the very people who are killing black people en masse, like the World Bank, you know, working with the Obama administration just last year to prevent developing countries from building coal-fired plants. They don't want them to lift themselves out of poverty. We're talking about 561 million acres of land, an area the size of Northwest Europe since 2001, that have been swallowed up by these transnational corporations in the name of preventing global warming, kicking people off their land, destroying farms, burning down homes. And it's a eugenicist assault on the third world, and it's coming home. This is why they want us to live in a plandopolis with meat rations and the fact that we have to apply for permission to the government to drive a car once a week. So it's all coming home. This is the plan they've got for mankind. And now the geoengineering cloud is up there conducting experiments, throwing sulfur particles into the atmosphere again to stop global warming. These people in their own documents talk about how they want a global planetary regime to sterilize and kill everybody. And they're now in the White House. They've got the multi-million dollar scientific budgets, and they're going to have their way.
And that's the thing, is that over the years, going to college and then being at events with media and going to smart growth conferences, I'd be like, you know, this is a death sentence to the third world. And they'll just look at you with these crazed eyes and go, it doesn't matter. You can't stop us, Jones. And the thing is, mid-level and upper-level, they know it's about a power grab and about killing people. And they're racist, and they committed. They said, how are we going to kill these black weeds, as Margaret Sanger said, and these brown weeds? And she said, we've got to pose as liberals to get their trust. These are quotes, so we can kill these subhumans. And they are so vicious. They are so evil. I've even talked to black socialists and people, and they won't discuss the abortion issue. It's their sacrament. It's their weird, sickening, disgusting, out-of-control power trip. And they'll even say to you, well, there are too many people. And they get off on it. Meanwhile, they're having their food manipulated, their water manipulated as well.
Well, I mean, obviously, as you said, you get to a certain level and they know exactly what they're doing. It's like Bill Clinton at the Global Initiative earlier this week says that, you know, Calderon stepped up to the plate because he helped plant half of the 1 million trees that their biodiversity agenda called for. What they don't tell you is that he also kicked off all these people from their land. Now they're living in absolute squalor and poverty and dying as a result of this. But, I mean, this is the agenda. This is why they want
to reduce. And headed their way from Mexico. This has been going on since the 80s. And so, in a way, again, I don't blame the illegals. They're just trying to live a better life. They were driven off their land. The point is, then they're brought here, put on welfare, taught to be anti-Second Amendment. These globalists have got to be dealt with, and they've got to be called out. Paul Watson, good job. I want you to get your report out to everybody. Please, 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 listeners, don't stand behind us. Stand right beside us. When you become a PrisonPlanet.tv member, when you watch the newscast, when you download them and share them, when you share your passcode for PrisonPlanet.tv, when you spread the word about the show and alternative media, you fund our operation to continue researching and fighting and raising the alarm. We are the 21st century Paul Revere's. Paul Watson, Kurt Nemo, myself, my entire crew, you the listeners, you the activist. It is time to ring the alarm bells from every hill and mountain. It is time. We're sending our reporters to Bilderberg and to Denver for martial law takeover drills. I want to hire more reporters. I want to have reporters in different parts of the world every week. It's all possible when you fund us and support us by buying the T-shirts, the high-quality water filters, the shortwave radios, all the great stuff at Infowars.com. That is how you support us, and when you become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. Paul Watson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex.
Coming up later, I'm going to get into this whole Palestinian statehood deal. This is all planned to blow up the Middle East and get World War III going. Okay, everybody wants me to cover it. I've covered it ad nauseum. Israel's not going anywhere. It's meant to start a big war. But you'll see. We're going to get to that coming up. Just absolutely amazing. Of course, nobody wants to talk about the 30,000 mostly black living in Flea Town, tens of thousands of dead blacks stacked up everywhere all over the country. Nobody wants to talk about that because it's not the cause celeb. It's not the trendiness. Now, going to Aaron Dykes. He's there with Darren McBreen. They filed incredible reports that are up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, video reports, text reports. They're working with Kurt Nemo. Those are going up right now. They've been to a bunch of drills so far. There's more drills. Just like in Chicago, the drill for arresting people and putting them in a FEMA camp, that's even Fox News isn't allowed into that. And we confirm this happened in Chicago last year. That's in our film. We had our guys there as well. Aaron Dykes, tell us what you're witnessing up there in Denver.
Well, it's total planned chaos, of course, Alex. The whole drill is so gigantic that it's completely compartmentalized over more than 100 government agencies, but it's all coordinated at the top from Department of Homeland Security, who paid for the grant that paid for the entire massive tent location drill that's going on today.
Now, what's the main goal? We know they do these to create an illusion of a real terror threat to shut down many parts of the city and create fear. It's a federalization drill, of course. I know you talked to a Homeland Security official who said it's all federal.
Yeah, that's right. They did the grant, as I said, from the top down, and all these agencies are more than happy to be integrated into it, Alex. I would say overall, this is a preparation for the very things Homeland Security told us to now expect from domestic terror attacks, including sports stadium locations, shopping mall locations, school locations, train station locations, and the rest of it, community college and elementary schools, Alex. And we've seen those all in the propaganda videos that get ready for that. And we were just inside the live school shooting drill, and they claimed it was a generic terrorist, but what it looked like was a returning veteran. He was dressed in fatigues, he had on gloves, he was a real kind of prepared shooter with an AR-15 type weapon or something similar.
Well, we know, even the New York Times reports Explorer Scouts nationwide are, quote, trained to take on disgruntled vets and, quote, take them out.
Right. And then secondarily, they're using the trauma-based PSYOP against these children who they've made to participate in the drills. We're grown men over here, and we were a little shocked by the loud explosions and the shooting sounds inside this school. Meanwhile, they've got first and second graders and older children as well evacuating the building and being subjected to these.
Yeah, every school in the country, a government training camp, is really a re-education camp. So you're saying they actually had the children in this one. Sometimes they don't even announce it to the children as young as five and come in and tell them they're going to kill them. All trauma-based mind control. Well, we're showing footage shot from the iPhone that's up at Infowars.com. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer right now, if you're a radio listener, you can go to Infowars and watch it. We were just showing the SWAT teams running around in a school. What type of public school was it, and how old were the children?
Right, as I said, the children were as young as first grade, and this was Smedley Elementary School. Yeah, Smedley Elementary School. I have the address if you want it.
Unbelievable. We're seeing the footage here. So they had children as young as 6 years of age, first grade, going through this. And you said there were explosions, shooting. I was also reading that there's got helicopters flying around and troops. So this is basically a giant fear op over the city.
That's exactly right. Of course, they publicized it ahead of time. They said, don't be worried. Get ready for loud explosions, smoke, and the rest of it. And so, again, inside the school, they had the fire alarms going off. They had simulated shots and explosions. It was very loud. They required us to wear earplugs. But at least they did let us in, whereas at the mall location, they were so paranoid from their top-down security that they wouldn't even let us in the parking lot without a little harassment. Whereas at the elementary school, they let us right in, and we were able to follow the SWAT team from a very close distance without any interference.
Unbelievable. And we're seeing the low-quality video you uploaded basically instantly. And we're going to get the high-quality as soon as you guys get back. We'll have reports tonight as well. I'm going to come back and let you finish up, Aaron. Then I want to go to Darren McBreen there on the ground with you as well. I appreciate you guys going on such short notice and the amazing job you do. Of course, folks, you've seen Aaron Dykes sitting in and hosting the InfoWars Nightly News and doing a superlative job. And also Darren McBreen with Man on the Street and other special reports doing an incredible job as well. And Rob Jacobson behind the scenes, Rob Dew, all the rest of the crew. We couldn't do this without them and your support. If you believe in this type of hardcore in the face of the globalist reporting, support us. Buy the books, the DVDs, the T-shirts, all of it, and spread the word on the ground with that. And become a PrisonPlanet.tv member. You can also go to InfoWarsNews.com to sign up. InfoWarsNews.com. More from Denver. Okay, more than 100 agencies are descending on Denver. They do this in many other cities as well, just creating this illusion that there are terrorists everywhere and you better give your liberties up. And of course, the conspiracy theories have started. It's like, why is the Homeland Security guy talking to them at the mall shooting drill? And how did they get into the school drill? It's never about, hey, look, they got little kids training for martial law and they're traumatizing them. It's always, we're Vatican assassins or something. Because you guys never get up, never go out, never do anything. Okay? Media's been blocked from some events, but not from others. And of course, COINTELPRO always turns it back on us. So it's about us instead of about the events that are taking place. I know Dew and them got in last year because they went and signed up with the media and witnessed them training to take on the domestic groups. Just like I went to urban warfare drills. I remember in 98 and witnessed the Marines training to take our guns. And people then didn't say, oh, he's in the drills, he must be a globalist. Instead of responding to the drill, they said, oh, this is fake. The hovercraft, the troop carrying ships, none of this is real. Any way you can not to address the issue of that the government's saying terror attacks are coming, we're going to have to take your rights, groping you at the football stadiums, groping you at the malls. It's all happening. Now, going back to Aaron Dykes, Aaron, that is a good question overall, though. They're letting you into some events, but not into others. You say you talked to some media folks who are, and that you guys are not allowed into the sports stadium, but they did let some media into this high school. So break that question down.
That's right, Alex. In fact, I wanted to address that. It's the compartmentalization, exactly like you would see if there was a 9/11 type event, where there's plausible deniability and ignorance. You could see the SWAT team guys were working hard, doing a good job, that kind of thing, the different agencies, but then their coordinators come and interrogate us, and when we were at the mall location, they had different security patrols, a local county one, one for the mall, and one for the federal, and they kept coming by asking us questions, even though we checked in as media. Now, we talked with a mainstream reporter while we were at the school shooting drill, where they were very nice, unlike the mall location, let us in. He said his fellow compatriots were at the stadium, they were at the mall, they were at the other location, including the union station, the train station, and they were not given access to any of the events. They weren't allowed to see the actual visuals. They're up on a riser where they can film the general area, but they can't actually see what's going on. That was not the case at the elementary school. And I guess it's due to the compartmentalization, because they let us right in. You know, we, of course, identified as media and called media contact.
Yeah, well, that's the key to all this. Now continuing here, Aaron, I'm reading in the news about helicopters, bomb drills. More of that is coming up. What did you see along that line? I saw highway signs flashing that a security drill's going on. I mean, this is really just about creating the illusion that terrorism is the most dangerous thing in the world, when slipping on wet cement is about 1,000 times more dangerous.
Yeah, that's right. We've seen streets blocked off, particularly by the elementary school, by the mall. We saw those signs, the video we posted earlier, warning of the public exercise drill going on. That was all around the highways. Certain lanes were blocked off. What was also interesting was the state, local, and county-level vehicles all had giant, massive counterterrorism, hazmat, bomb drill, huge RVs set up as cordon stations at the mall location where they're planning for the shooting drill. Again, not taking out the shooter or preventing any deaths, but just blocking off the area and taking command and getting ready sure. to, you know, make a big scene after the fact. Also interesting was they had the SWAT teams on top of these vans and up on the mall where they had almost a parapet, kind of a second-level location where they had SWAT primed for snipers and so forth.
Yeah, this is all a martial law takeover drill. For the public, it's for fear-mongering to create the perception the threat is real. But internally, it's all about threat fusion centers, homeland security, a full federalization system. It's like testing nerve endings. They're testing the takeover and takedown of America.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I'm going to get an update from our guys on the ground towards the end of the third hour today when Bob Chapman's on with us. We're going to look at Fast and Furious, the attack on the Second Amendment, coming up in the next segment with the new head of Jews of Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Paul Watson already came on about a UN program, carbon tax program, slaughtering Africans for their land. You can't make this stuff up. Right now, Aaron Dykes and Darren McBreen, InfoWars Nightly News reporters, are on the scene there in Denver. They've been to all sorts of drills. They've got over 100 going on, Army, military, police under local control, going under federal control, incredible information at Operation Mountain Guardian. And Aaron, you were just telling me some incredible information before we finish up with you and go to Darren McBreen for his take on this.
Right. So again, for those who don't know how we got in there, this was a public exercise where the media was invited. We have the press release in front of us, and we've contacted those press
Aaron,
police
don't even
officials.
Worry about that. I was just telling that story as a joke. We all know the Vatican got us in. But and along with space aliens. But I mean, getting back to the stuff you were telling me about the next drill coming up.
Well, that's what I was trying to tell you, is that these media contacts have told us they're about to stage an event carried out against the train. They've done a separate event already at the train station. Of course, there's five more hours of this large exercise going on. There's also activity at the Denver International Airport and the Sports Authority Field at Mile High Stadium, as well as several medical centers and a university. So we're about to go check that stuff out.
But notice, it's the sports stadiums, they don't want people in. It's like when I sent Dew and Douglas up to Chicago, the unannounced...
Even Fox News, Alex.
Yeah.
Even Fox News.
Well, they didn't announce a final drill, but then my guy still found out about it. Or mass roundups at the sports stadium in Chicago. So they don't want you seeing that, Aaron. Do whatever you have to get up on a tall building, whatever. Get footage of what's happening. Did you bring the super telephoto Panasonic camera I got?
We have the HDV, which has a very large zoom. It goes quite a ways. And we have other cameras with lesser zooms.
Well, do whatever you have to. Great job. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish up what you were saying, Aaron.
Well, I simply spoke with one of the media contact personnel, asked if there was anything in the drills related to mass evacuation, you know, temporary detention for mass amounts of people, et cetera. And she kind of laughed and said, there's many locations, but I can't tell you about that. You have to call the head contact because she was compartmentalized.
Yeah, it's all
so
about
we're
the feds.
Follow up on those leads, and we'll have more reports to come out.
All right, good. Let me get a brief comment from Darren McBrain, InfoWars.com reporter. Darren, in about a minute and a half, what's your overall view of what you've witnessed?
Well, hey, I'm just catching up with Aaron. We got separated for a little bit, but a very realistic drill inside of the Smedley Elementary School compound, you know, in Denver, Colorado. As you know, this is all part of Operation Mountain Guardian, brought to you by Homeland Security and FEMA. And I don't know if Aaron told you that there's over 100 different agencies participating in what can only be called it's a massive exercise, Alex. Now, we were inside Smedley Elementary School, and I'm telling you, it gets about as real as you could possibly imagine. There was a SWAT task force team. They had simulated gunfire. There were sirens, multiple casualties, you know, teenagers role-playing, pretending like they were dead or injured. And, you know, they were riddled throughout the compound. and a very surreal experience. We even got close to the actual terrorist, or the simulated terrorist, if you will. Aaron, he kind of looked like a military guy, an ex-military guy. You know, he's a white man dressed in camouflage.
Yeah, so they're trying to take on the Tea Party as usual. Darren, great job. I want to get a full report from you towards the end of the next hour. I know you guys have got to go to a simulated attack on a train. You're trying to get into the FEMA camp, the citizen roundup drill. Great job, Darren.
All right, thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to get more from both those guys when Bob Chapman's on with us. Sherry Tenpenny with a boil down of some of the bombshell info she covered last night on InfoWars Nightly News. But coming up, I want to look at the Second Amendment and the attack on that straight ahead with the new head of Judicial Preservation of Firearms Ownership, now that great patriot Aaron Zellman, of course, has died in the last 6 months or so. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, for the next 25 minutes or so, we are joined by one of the new directors of Judicial Preservation of Firearms Ownership, which is a great Second Amendment organization, really hits the gun grabbers where it hurts, pointing out that authoritarians always try to take guns. Counters the controlled socialistic left, always saying it's a civil right to have your guns taken, and shows that the first gun laws were against blacks and others. And then, of course, Hitler was for gun control. And it's a very good counterbalance to the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, and others that are always out there viciously going after the Second Amendment. Then coming up, I'm going to get into the economy. Big developments, obviously, there with the plunging stock market, QE3 and more. We've got our reporters on the ground in Denver for this Mountain Guardian martial law takeover drill. We've got incredible news dealing with, well, we told you about this a month ago, UN Security Council, climate change, peacekeeping, green helmets. Well, the green helmets have hit. Armed troops burned down homes, killed children to evict Ugandans in name of global warming. They took their property, saying that they've got to balance the carbon footprint of the country, and then sold the carbon footprint to liberal trendies, who buy it to put stickers on their cars to feel like they're doing a good job. You can't make this type of eugenics up, this type of extermination, packaged in sickening liberal trendiness. So that's all coming up. But, again, time flies. I can't believe it was 2010 Aaron Zellman died. I remember talking about it. And then I was reading here, and I'm like, what didn't happen 6 months ago? Didn't happen 8 months ago? Didn't happen 9 months ago? Aaron Zellman, really hardcore defender of the Second Amendment, been interviewing him for 16 years, and I hadn't even heard he was sick, and then heard he passed, which is sad, but he led certainly a good life defending freedom. And so we are joined right now by one of the new directors of the organization, and I do want to hear more about exactly who's honchoing things over there, and so that's why he's with us, Rabbi David Ben-Dori, and he's been the rabbinic director for years, but now is, I guess, expanding his role there, and it's good to have you here with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for having me, Alex.
So, out of the gates, tell us about JPFO.org. Let's talk about Aaron a little bit. What a guy who certainly made some big accomplishments for liberty in his life.
Yes, Aaron Zellman was a force to be reckoned with. He founded JPFO about 20 years ago. He was just disgusted by the fact that the dominant Jewish voices with regard to the issues of Second Amendment rights and firearms ownership were all anti. And he couldn't understand it. It disgusted him. So he went out and he did something about it. He established Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership and led the organization for a little over 20 years until, as you just described, his untimely death in December of 2010.
Well, his work will live on for a long time. Now, what is JPFO doing today? Because you've got Gun Owners of America, that's a good organization. Then you've got the NRA that sells out a lot. But when it comes to really putting out pamphlets, videos, ideas, and really identifying crimes of the ATF, JPFO has been the leader.
We very much try to take the lead in the places that some of those other gun organizations can't go. There are things we can and do say that they will not. And above all, we will not compromise and we will not sell out. So where the NRA might get involved in lobbying and politics, which leads them to all sorts of compromise, we are an educational organization. We seek to provide educational materials, what we call intellectual ammunition, to use against the gun grabbers. And that includes pamphlets, that includes various email alerts, that includes videos that we've done, lectures that I've done, all sorts of materials that are filled with a different approach to gun control. We approach the issue from a completely different angle and as informed by Jewish history and by Jewish law.
Well, I mean, from my research, about 100% of the time, when governments take guns or arms from people, they become slaves very, very quickly. And I know that's your historical perspective, and it's really gotten the word out there so people realize how hardcore this is. But specifically from a Jewish perspective, I think this is important because I know that I've gone to anti-gun meetings many years ago in Austin, and a lot of times they would be at local liberal synagogues, and I would go there and try to, you know, during question and answers say, this is wrong, this is a bad idea, and they would get very, very upset and, you know, try to imply I was some type of Nazi infiltrator or something to the meeting. So I think that's what's so good that JPFO is countering, you know, some of the folks out there who claim to speak specifically for Jews, saying that it's, I guess, you know, a Jewish law or something to hand in your weapons, which I don't see in the Bible or the Torah.
No, most certainly not. In fact, the very first project that I did for JPFO was called the Ten Commandments of Self-Defense. The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense is an hour-long lecture that goes through a selection of sources from Jewish law. I chose 18 sources. There are many, many more that I could have gone to, but I chose 18 sources ranging from the Torah, the Old Testament, to rabbinic sources, to more modern sources that look at the questions surrounding self-defense, questions surrounding firearms ownership, and ask, what does Jewish law have to say about this issue? Is Jewish law in favor or opposed to disarmament? Is Jewish law in favor or opposed to self-defense? What it comes down to at the end of the day is a very simple statement, which is God has given you life, and to refuse, to fail to defend the life of the innocent is to hold that gift from God in contempt. And so as people who love life, as people who cherish the gifts that God has given us, we have an obligation to defend life. In modern times, one of the best tools that we have at our hands, at our disposal to defend life, is the modern handgun. It levels the playing field in terms of self-defense. And so Jewish law is very clear that you have an obligation to defend the innocent, to defend your own life, to defend the lives of the innocent around you, and to use whatever tools are necessary to do so.
You know, for those out there who don't know the Old Testament or the Torah, and go through some of the, I mean, I know I'm springing this on you, if you've got them in front of you, Rabbi, go through what the Torah, what the Bible actually says versus what we also see in Christian churches. A lot of them now, I've seen Catholic churches, pamphlets, Baptist churches saying it's of God, turn your guns in. I mean, this is something that the big World Council of Churches and others aren't just trying to push through synagogues. They're pushing it across the board.
I can't comment on the churches, but I can comment on the Jewish sources. I'm holding my hand, actually. I thought you might ask me such a question. So I'm holding the study guide that we distribute along with that CD, The Ten Commandments of Self-Defense. This has the 18 sources that I chose as part of that audio lecture. So I will just choose the first one. The first one deals with the case of a potential murderer, someone who is out to kill another person. We call it in Hebrew a rodef, a pursuer. So in the case of a pursuer, you have an obligation in Jewish law to use any means necessary to protect the innocent life of the person being pursued. And in fact, in Jewish law, we equate the pursuer with intent to murder to the pursuer with intent to rape. Or in other words, once someone is going to cause what I'll characterize as grave bodily harm, That person is in the category of a pursuer, that Jewish law obligates us to prevent such an attack, to prevent such an occurrence from happening. What's that based on? It all goes back to a case in the book of Exodus. The case is of a criminal who is tunneling into someone's house in the middle of the night. And what the book of Exodus tells us is that if a criminal is caught tunneling under the wall to get into someone's home in the middle of the night, the homeowner or anyone else can strike that person down and kill them. It's assumed that they are out to harm the people inside, that they are not only after property, that they are going to cause mortal harm to the people inside. And so one can actively defend against such a perpetrator.
By the way, Rabbi, we're going to have you back up. We've only got about 15 minutes left in the future to do a whole hour on this. But I'm seeing parallels with English and European common law. I mean, this is just common sense. Somebody's trying to break in your house at night. It's common sense. You got a right to kill them.
Well, in fact, Alex, the basis of a lot of English law, European common law, comes from Roman law, which is very, very closely connected with Jewish law of the Talmudic period, approximately 1,500 to 2,000 years ago. A lot of very similar jurisprudence, a lot of similar concepts. So, for example, what you're describing is called the Castle Doctrine. The Castle Doctrine isn't called that, but it appears in rabbinic literature, and it's discussed in exactly the terms that you're describing. If someone is breaking into your home, what are the assumptions you can make? Can you assume that this person is going to take property and leave? Or do you have to assume that, or do you have a right to assume, in fact, are you obligated to assume that this person is out to cause you bodily harm, that this person is out to harm your family?
And they can run down the road and do it to somebody else, so you've got a responsibility to put them down.
Trying to get into your home, you have a responsibility to do something about that. Absolutely. Jewish law, in fact, looks at this as a question of responsibility, much more than a question of rights. Most of Jewish law looks at our responsibilities. And we have a responsibility to create and construct a civil society. This person is behaving in a way that is outside of the boundaries of civil society. In doing so, they have given up their quote-unquote rights. And once they've given up those rights, you have responsibilities to maintain that civil society.
We're going to break in a moment, but let's get to number two.
What was number two? You want a second source?
No, I mean, there's so many. I just find it interesting.
Well, I'll throw a second one at you. The Rambam Maimonides, who lived about 800 years ago, he actually extends this further. There are questions about at what point this, I'll call it the Castle Doctrine, applies in rabbinic law. According to Maimonides, the Castle Doctrine applies not just to someone breaking into your home, but if someone is doing what we would call criminal trespass. Once that person is on your property uninvited and refuses to leave, meaning they've taken some active step to demonstrate that they are up to no good, once they have refused to leave, that constitutes criminal trespass that is sufficient, according to Maimonides, to justify the use of force to get them to leave your property.
And that's why today you've got to have the sign saying, don't come on my land. That's the upfront warning.
That would be the upfront warning in today's society. That's right. Unless, of course, you live in Texas, in which case, presumably, no warning is necessary.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Interesting stuff. We could spend hours. It's good to know JPFO is still out there fighting, getting great material out. It's invaluable. JPFO.org. We're going to come back with Mr. Ben Dorey on the other side. I'm Alex Jones, GCNLive.com. All right, Rabbi David Ben Dorey is our guest. We're almost out of time, but I will have him back up for a full hour in the near future because this is so, so interesting. He joins us via video Skype for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. For radio listeners, we'll be archiving the whole thing at PrisonPlanet.tv if you want to see it there. But getting into the history of gun control across the board, and, well, the nightmares that basically appear as soon as populations are disarmed. You've made a big study of this, and so has JPFO. Tell us about it.
Well, we have spent a lot of time on this topic at JPFO. In fact, we have the two that were on my mind that are targeting specific populations. We have a video called No Guns for Jews. We have another video called No Guns for Negroes. And No Guns for Negroes looks at gun control as a tool of oppression against blacks. No Guns for Jews obviously does the same, looking at Jews. We have another video called Innocence Betrayed, which looks at the history of gun control as a predecessor to genocide throughout the 20th century, as used by the Soviet Union, by Lenin, as used in China, as used against the Armenians in Turkey, and, of course, as used against the Jews during the Holocaust. But, in fact, the history of gun control goes back far longer than that. I'm always fascinated. I ask people, what was the first recorded historical gun control event, the first historic gun control document? And people typically think this goes back, you know, a few hundred years. In fact, it's much older than that. The first known historic source that has anything to do with gun control goes back to biblical times. In fact, the first book of Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verse 19, talks about the first use of gun control. Now, of course, we're not talking about guns. We're talking about swords, the guns of that time, as it were, the weaponry of that time, swords, bows and arrows, spears. The Bible tells us that there were no smiths, no blacksmiths found among the Jewish people. And the Philistines, who were, of course, their enemies at the time, said, well, we don't want the Jews to be able to make any swords or spears. And so what they did is they essentially declared a moratorium on sharpening tools for Jews. They made the price of sharpening a tool, even a plow, exorbitant. And so just a few verses later, we're told that on the day of battle against the Philistines, there were no swords or spears among all of the Jewish people in the entire Jewish army, save two, one in the hand of Saul, that's King Saul, and one in the hand of Jonathan, his son.
That's right. Back then, they mainly used slings.
They used slings. That's right. David, of course, king who was to become king, used a sling. But in terms of manufactured weaponry, it was swords and swords, shields, bows and arrows. That's what was available. And the Philistines disarmed the Jews in order to defeat us in battle. They, of course, failed because we had a weapon that they can't disarm us from. And that is, of course, God provided for the Jewish people then and helped us be triumphant in that battle. But that's the first recorded gun control. That's about 3,000 years ago. If I fast forward, you go to about about 2,200 years ago to the Book of Esther, the time of the Jewish dispersion in Persia. So I'll remind your listeners or those who aren't familiar with the biblical sources, the Book of Esther deals with a king named Ahasuerus, who is paid by a man named Haman, who wants to wipe out the entire Jewish people. And he gets a decree from the king saying that the people of Persia are allowed to attack Jews with impunity on a particular date. And so Esther, who is the Jewish queen at the time, she implores the king to save her people. And we're told, I'll give you the exact quote, the king declares, quote, the king had granted that the Jews were in every city to gather themselves together, to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the forces of the people and province that would assault them. Or in other words, the king gave the Jews the right to defend themselves. So clearly, if the king had to give them the right to defend themselves, prior to that, we had a decree, Jews aren't allowed to defend themselves, which is how their enemies were to be triumphant. So this has been a tool, this gun control, this idea of weapon control, has been a tool used to oppress the Jewish people for thousands of years. No Guns for Jews actually goes through that history, coming all the way up into modern times. Gun control, weapons control, arms embargoes, as used against the state of Israel to prevent the Jews there from defending themselves.
Well, Rabbi Ben-Dori, we're going to have to leave it there, but it was great having you on. I look forward to having you back up to look at more history because it's just amazing, and we see it in every other culture throughout history. It's very fundamental. If anybody tries to disarm you, you're a slave. You're a prisoner. And blacks couldn't have guns, obviously, when they were slaves here, and then even after they were freed. First gun control laws there. You cover that in your excellent film. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Pleasure being here. Thank you very much for having me on. I look forward to being back.
I look forward to having you back for a full hour. Now, when we come back, we're going to look at the latest developments in the economy. We're going to get into the incredible stuff happening in Libya with the handover by NATO to Al-Qaeda there. We're going to also look at the debates last night. It's all coming up. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, I want to blitz through a ton of news that we haven't gotten to yet. And then we've got Bob Chapman joining us. We'll get another report from on the ground in Denver with this big federalization police state acclimation drill happening. If you're watching us on PrisonPlanet.tv and not listening on the radio, you can see what I have here to my left. If you're on the radio listening, I would ask you to go to InfoWars.com because it is things like this Made in America stainless steel, high-quality water filter that's handheld, a drinking bottle that'll do 100 gallons of swamp water, even more of just regular tap water, and reduces or completely removes everything under the sun. Some things it just reduces down to almost non-detectable levels. Great stainless steel, InfoWars.com, Made in America water filtration system. And then we've also got the InfoWars.com camouflage Don't Tread on Me hat, the Hunter Orange, which is my favorite now that we've gotten them in, InfoWars hats, the Tyranny Response Team hats, and a lot more. And when you purchase the water bottles, you help yourself out. And, of course, you also help this broadcast and what we do here. We are funded by our sponsors, by our PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers, and that's how we basically run this operation. And, of course, video and T-shirt and book sales, things like that. So please think about the online video bookstore. It's got the T-shirts. It's got the Ron Paul shirts. It's got the Don't Tread on Me, Liberty or Death shirts. It's all there. And if you want to meet like-minded people, obviously, getting T-shirts is a great way to do it, or ball caps. You want to see how many fellow InfoWarriors there are out there? You want to meet like-minded liberty lovers? Wear an InfoWars.com baseball cap, or get an InfoWars.com Ron Paul 2012 variant shirt. The double whammy, even more evil than just Ron Paul or Alex Jones alone. The two combined, so anti-globalist. Absolutely, we'll send any minions of the system into conniption fits when they see it. And look, I'll put the call out again to listeners, because I know a tiny fraction of our millions of radio listeners are PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers. I know that. I know that a handful of you are PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers. And that handful has helped us launch the nightly news, to make the films, to do the news websites, to have the reporters, the posters, the webmasters, the producers, the board ops, the directors, all of it. But we're adding a lot. We're adding the rant section, where I'm doing more and more of these spontaneous rants on the weekend and uploading them there for my iPhone or for my home computer. The special reports section that has an expanded interview with Dr. Wakefield and more from just a few days ago. The nightly news, five nights a week. And then, of course, Alex Jones Live. That's this three-hour radio/TV show every day. And we've got ebooks there as well. We've got all of my films and a lot more, all at PrisonPlanet.tv. You can also get there by going to InfoWarsNews.com. And think about the revolution you're involved in when you're a member. You are funding this entire operation. And the fact that we're able to send reporters places, the fact that we're able to cover big issues that more and more become national news stories all the time now. News stories that we break or analysis that we put out ends up being the number one story on the web some days. I mean, years ago, I'd have one of those a year. Now, every couple weeks, we're in the top three or four stories on the web, according to Alexa, Yahoo, Google, and other systems. We are reaching millions and millions of people. Think about it. I've made films like Endgame, Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic. Endgame, conservatively, tens of millions of viewers. Obama Deception, over 35 million last time I counted it up on the different YouTube channels and Google and other video platforms for free out there. 35 million people on a film that cost $100,000 to make. 35 million people. I'm not successful in the Capitol Department. But Glenn Beck doesn't have anything that's been seen 35 million times. Everything he's done together, all his books, his documentaries, don't come near that. Only thing that's bigger than that was the TV show. And again, I'm not in competition with Glenn Beck. I wish he was a true anti-globalist 100%. He's certainly better than George Soros. I mean, he's gotten better over the years. My point is, we're the real McCoy. You know, we started offering Tuesday's show Wednesday free in the InfoWars Insider newsletter. So he started offering his Tuesday show free on Wednesdays. He started doing his fourth hour of radio for subscribers only. That's something we started 5 years ago. I mean, it's great to be imitated, but then to also be attacked behind the scenes, I don't like that side issue. The point is, Al Gore reportedly, according to the London Telegraph, got 17,500 viewers to his 24 hours of baloney. Ladies and gentlemen, just with our subscribers and the fact that I allow the passcode to be shared, we've done the math. Guess how many people tune into the show every night at PrisonPlanet.tv? We're talking about close to 100,000 people because it streams once and then it streams all night. You add all those together. 600-something thousand downloading the free podcast every day. Over 300,000 listening to the free audio streams every single day, all added up together. Number one on Shoutcast. Number one. We were number one, ladies and gentlemen, what, just last month when the numbers came out. Not number one in talk radio, number one, period, on Shoutcast. Just one way we stream free audio. Think about that. We have been wildly successful in fighting the globalists, and that's why I didn't just sit there and say, well, I'll just keep doing things like making a film here and writing a book there or doing a special report here or there. No, making ourselves go to the next level. And really, it's been exhilarating busting our hind ends to put out these special reports in the nightly news shows. And I found it invigorating to actually work even more and do new things. And we've got a lot more new coming down the road. I'm going to be trying a lot of new things out in the fight. And there's nowhere where your support is having a bigger effect. You cannot deny it. Now, maybe you were a PrisonPlanet.tv member 8 years ago or 6 years ago. It's been around 8.5 years now. We've added so much more. Higher quality bandwidth, more options, the films in higher quality, everything there. But I know that's why most of you aren't even members for that reason. You're there to support us. Now it's a more powerful tool. Now you can download it easier and share it. Now you can share your passcode with even more people. I'm thinking about turning it up to 10 people being able to use the same passcode at the same time simultaneously. The problem is there's some server issues, not with streaming it to that many people, but there's some issues with the actual platform servers themselves. The site itself, not even the media, but we're working on that. And then they show me graphs that'll eat up any profit we've got that we need to then invest into more reporters, more equipment, more. I'm trying here. And quite frankly, I've been searching for a long time for somebody better than me. Because if I found somebody better than I was, and because I'm certainly not perfect, I would hire them and immediately thrust them into a leadership position. I've tried to work with other people a lot. A lot of times you get them around you and they go crazy and try to, lie about you, thinking like they'll kill the king or something politically. Or they will just flip out with the amount of power they get. It's just, I guess it takes a hermit like myself who just wants to go home and oil paint or go home and water plants in the yard to be able to deal with all this stress and all the craziness and quite frankly, the notoriety that comes with it. But we're finding good folks who aren't mentally ill and who are great. People like Mike Adams, people like Aaron Dykes, who has to be made to go on TV and made to go on the radio. And because I want to get to a point where you don't hear Alex Jones on the air except maybe once a week. Not because I don't even want to be doing the work, but because we need more people. We need more people that get a full spectrum breakdown analysis of what's happening. We need more people. We need more leaders. We need them. And I've always felt God on my move me in my heart that I'm looking for the real leader. That's what I'm here for, that I am going to trigger things with you that are going to lead to the destruction of the globalist. And Ron Paul has said that as well. He knows that even if they cheat him, he doesn't win. He's won by becoming a top-tier candidate and injecting real issues so that as everything he talked about completely comes true, it will be remembered. And he knows, he's talking about it's a war of ideas. He's trying to change the course of history. He's trying to get a new group of people, young people, to not see the socialist mode or the controlled right-wing fascist mode, but to see the liberty way, not the false left-right paradigm. And the Bilderberg Group, reportedly going back 4 years ago and again 2 years ago, is very upset the number one growing group, and now in many cases number one period, is not communists, not fake environmentalists, not socialists, not neocons, fake Republicans, but what you'd call Ron Paul, Alex Jones type libertarians who really get it, who really get what's happening, how the ultra rich use the dependent welfare class as a weapon against the middle class, the rediscovery of history. And so that's what feels good at the end of the day. I know I have committed so much time and energy and so much research and so much passion that we have already really wounded the globalist bad. They're bleeding all over the floor. I mean, they are bleeding. We have stabbed them quite a bit. It's a powerful dragon, but it's got its guts hanging out right now. It's blood all over the floor. We're bleeding bad too, but it doesn't matter. Just keep stabbing and stabbing. That's what matters. Oh, the dragon just bit into me. That's even better. Now I'm right by your eyes. Oh, yes. It's that commitment, full energy in against the machine, total commitment. I don't care what you say or what you do. I'm not afraid of what you manufacture or what thing you make up. It doesn't matter. In the end, I will defeat you. Humanity will defeat you. Because we don't have a choice. I said I get to news and I'm ranting now. The point is, if you are not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, it's growing fast, but I want to see it explode. I want to see it absolutely, totally explode. Because obviously, just that 100,000 or so that watch each day on there, then, of course, we then put it on the YouTube channel a day later, and then that gets millions of views a week together, and then it spills out everywhere, and we can't even count it. That's before we even, it's only in a Genesis orbit right now. It's only in a new, it's always a new level, a new advancement, more and more against the globalist. That is the main strategic goal. Our goal is to break your conditioning and help you then break other people's conditioning, not to make them believe or see what you see, but to see that there is a wider world going on, that there is manipulation taking place. That is our goal. And we are succeeding in history. We've learned the secret. Individuals are powerful. Ideas are powerful. Good will trump evil if you step up against it. It doesn't mean you're going to win individually. But in the end, the idea will be victorious if you are committed. Let's say in my game of chicken with the New World Order, they don't turn off. And I plow head on into them. They're a lot bigger than I am. And that won't bring them completely down, but it will create a new gouge in their face, a new cut. And that blood will run into their eye as they swerve more down the road. And as more of us fly into them, they're going to go off the edge of the cliff. So it's our job is just keep going in, going in, going in, going in, going in, going in. Just keep going in against them, never stopping. And just let our strength and our spirit of victory pour out of us. That's what we need to know. I didn't get mad at Kurt Haskell, who witnessed the government try to blow up that airline on Christmas Day when he said, we're all lost. There's nothing we can do. It's pure evil. My God, the whole government's terrorist. That's what somebody comes to that point when they first realize the government at the top is terrorist, is criminal, is as evil as it gets, because they all compete with each other. It's evil at the top competing, so you get the worst in there. It's like it's Indy 500 of evil, survival of the most evil, survival of the fittest, social Darwinism at the top. The worst cancer takes over the body in this type of system. I wasn't mad at him. I saw that as a process. That feeling of doom. But then you realize you don't have anywhere to go. You're going to have to go ahead and fight. And then that's empowering. I mean, when you realize, as I showed the other night, mainstream news articles, New York Daily News, you name it, that didn't get any attention. But I showed it in that special report on eugenics that we emailed out to everybody yesterday, even if you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, where they took little black kids mainly and mentioned their names, seven-year-olds, people like that, and took them and chained them down and fed them pesticides for a week till they died. And the descriptions of the children begging, please, please, it hurts, and the pharma companies murdering them. You know, that's a hard, some people are like, well, that's impolite, that's scary, don't talk about it, I don't like that show. Well, they're still killing the kids right now. I mean, is somebody going to help them? We only know about them murdering the children in New York because CPS workers, as wicked as they are, finally were like, we're killing kids now? See, when you realize they got kids chained down murdering them, stuff doesn't matter anymore. You know what I mean? Your own family stops mattering. They don't have any future if we don't beat these people. You got to go all the way in against these folks. And I'm going to say it again to all you minions of the system, who I know get called into meetings at the Pentagon and at Homeland Security, and they say, this is Alex Jones, because I've talked to the police and seen the documents, we've shown them. You've heard the military call in, and they say, this is Alex Jones, he's highly manipulative, he has kernels of truth, don't believe him, don't listen to him. How weird is the government that actually makes the military listen? How many times have I seen that happen? That's how scared they are, okay, of this show. That all over government, they say, do not listen, do not watch it, do not listen to this man. Why? Because I'm impolite? It's almost like impolite, I've been told, to talk about the carnage, the death, the destruction, the evil, the massacres, the control. No, it's impolite to go along with it. In fact, let me find my stack. I've got a stack here. I'm going to cover this in depth on the show tonight, on the TV show tonight. This morning, I just thought I'd type pediatric cancer into the search engine and click news. And I did it. We're going to show some of these articles tonight. And there were thousands of articles in the news section alone in the last week. And it was all the same thing. Mothers shaving their heads for cancer awareness. Fathers doing it. All sorts of sporting events to raise money to give to Big Pharma, who's doing it. Wouldn't you like to actually find out why cancer has tripled on average since 1980, accelerating that doubling in the last 10 years? Wouldn't you want to know why it's getting so epidemic instead of like parading look at little Jenny. She's six, dying of cancer, but all she wants to do is help other children. And it shows a little girl on there. I was crying watching it this morning going, I know I'll be dead soon, but I just want to help other children. Well, you know what? I want to help other children too, honey. And nobody's going to tell you in your family or anywhere else because they couldn't face the horror. That it's Big Pharma and mommy and daddy shot you up and did all that. And you ate GMO and you drank fluoride. And it's meant to kill people when they're 30, 40, or 50, but it genetically triggered with you. And so you're dead now. But before they kill you for a year, they love kids because they can give them chemo for 2-3 years. They're going to bankrupt your parents, sucking every dime out of them. See, how about women not just shave their heads for cancer victims? How about you actually find out it's being put in there on purpose and stop it? General public, then we're gonna have Nuremberg trials, and then we're gonna hang you by your little pencil necks. You got that? You got that? You can kill me all day long. In the end, you're gonna get it, and you know it. Just get that through your little brain out there. Okay, getting back to this information, I will have a report on this tonight. I'm gonna show you the highest cancer rates in the world. I bet you could guess where those are. It corresponds with highest vaccination rates. And I'm going to show you all the mainline science on fluoride turbocharging cancer and turbocharging breast cancer. You see, there's all these well-meaning parents that watch their little girls and little boys die of cancer and sell the house to pay for the treatment. And it all gets sucked out of the family by the $800 billion a year murder cult. And then they actually get the families to go out and raise money more for the American Cancer Society. At the top of it, you guessed it, nothing but eugenicists running it. All these well-meaning people. And see, by controlling the movement to fight cancer, they control and make sure there's never a cure for it and that they shelve all of those, or that you're not told that you're actually being given cancer by design. Oh, these are very sick people. And we're going to be exposing it tonight on InfoWars Nightly News. Here's an article. Young Nuggets fan inspired others during valiant cancer fight at a time in her life when most 10-year-olds were making Christmas lists. Michaela Steffs had a bucket list. There were certain things she wanted to do before she died. Yeah, there's some things I want to do before I die, too. That's exposed the people doing this. Michaela always thought of others before herself, so the list focused on her immediate family. She wanted to give them something to remember her after she was gone. Thousands of these articles every week. You can go read them. And the system even knows how to make money off of it. That's why the globalists are in control. And you would never imagine they're that wicked. For her dad, she painted a picture of two of them dancing in the rain. Oh, that just tears your heart out when you got daughters. My daughter came in with me, a little picture she drew this morning. I want you to know, most of you who've lost your kids, this cancer was unheard of in children 50 years ago. For her mom, Michaela found a special necklace during a Mother's Day at the mall. And for her little brother, Wyatt, she brought him presents and dedicated an entire day to being nice to him. As for herself, there was one thing Michaela wanted that she couldn't buy in any store. While she and her friend Josh were riding together on an elevator at school, Michaela leaned and gave him a quick peck on the lips. She made sure she got her first kiss, her mom said. And it goes on how now she is used her memory to raise money to, quote, fight cancer. So that the pesticide lobby can charge you $50,000 for about $5 worth of pesticide. Oh, yeah, the molecule makeup of most of the chemotherapies is basically different variants of Raid pesticide. Here's other ones. Race teams runs for pediatric cancer. 46 mothers shave their heads for childhood cancer awareness. Well-meaning good people. On and on and on. Getting Big Pharma to treat childhood cancers. ABC News. How about we talk about why the cancer is increasing instead of talking about fighting it once you get it?
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We had a 25-minute extended interview at the end of the nightly news last night with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, where she agreed that the Gardasil situation has been manipulated on purpose to hurt little girls. She's a medical doctor, one of the leading experts. Big deal for her to come out with that. That's coming up. I know that's the clips I told you to get. I think that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll play a few minutes of that and get Chapman's take on it. I haven't taken any phone calls today because I've been busy ranting and going over news. The stuff happening with the economy is just unbelievable. And it's all planned. It's all been done by design. And meanwhile, I'll also talk some about this. Abbas, the head of the Palestinian state, the Palestinian Authority, as it's called, moves for statehood. We shall not recognize a Jewish state. Netanyahu says theater of the absurd. And even if you don't agree with Netanyahu, even if you're, quote, on the Palestinian side, see, I see it's a master manipulation. I don't have a dog in the fight. See, I'm seeing the fake clash of civilizations, just like the West throwing Gaddafi out partially and putting Al-Qaeda in. This is all part of destabilization. Because I know that the Western governments are manipulating this, and I know the UN's manipulating this. And I'm all for the Palestinians to have more freedom and land and to get land back that was taken, you know, in the last few wars. But it is theater of the absurd, as Netanyahu says, because Israel's an armed camp with nuclear weapons. This is about legitimizing the UN right now while they're busy running around murdering people all over the world. And so there's big clashes in the West Bank. A lot of people are obsessed with this. I get emails pouring in. I talk about it pretty much every day. And people say, I've never heard you talk about it. And it's almost kind of like, well, why talk about it then? Because the more I talk about it, the less I've supposedly talked about it. And what do you even say about this? I mean, it is just going to go on and on and on and on. There's 180 plus countries in the world. And I'm into George Washington. I'm into Ron Paul. I'm into my country and my sovereignty and my low taxes and staying out of people's business and making really good products to sell to the world. And then we'll end up being like Switzerland or Japan or something. I don't like paying for a military that is for the global corporations. I'm tired of all the militarism. I'm tired of it. I'm done. And quite frankly, I get sick at my stomach when I see either side, the mindless, pure defenders of Israel and the people that absolutely want to destroy Israel. And then the people that want to destroy Israel saying, we don't want to destroy Israel. I've gone and seen the quotes. I've actually seen them say it over and over again. So what do you expect Israel to do? That then gives the military-industrial complex in Israel carte blanche to engage in whatever activity it wants, just like every other government. Power corrupts absolutely. Power corrupts absolutely. Israel is incredibly corrupt. But so is England, so is the U.S., so is China. You know, my point is that I do not worship Israel. The people that hate Israel worship it. The people that love Israel worship it. And I've just had enough. I mean, I was brought up going to the mainline Christian churches, Baptist and evangelical, and just worship Israel 24/7, worship Israel, worship Israel. And then now I've grown up and I'm like, I don't want to get into Israel. I'm sick of it. It's a distraction. It's a globalist diversion. And it's like, well, then you're defending Israel. Or then somebody else says, you hate Israel. And it's like, no, I don't have your fetish. I'm sorry. I don't spend my waking hours just obsessed with it all day. I'm not obsessed with Mexico or Saudi Arabia, for that matter. It's just, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I say cut off our foreign aid to everybody, including Israel. And just let all those groups just have it out with each other. I mean, hell, a nuclear bomb going off isn't as bad as a Chernobyl or a thing like they've had out in Fukushima. That's thousands of atomic bombs right there. So let them go and have a nuclear war over there. Just keep us out of it.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, I can't think of a better time to have Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster on with us. Gold and silver are plunging. This is something Dr. Paul Craig Roberts said about 6 months ago on the show. You can dig it up. He said, Alex, there's a chance they can implode markets when the euro starts going under, and that the U.S. Treasury bonds are going to go way up, and then gold and silver will plunge for a time as people desperately try to prop up the dollar. And he sure called it, but this has happened before. But you look at the 12-year graph, it just keeps going up because of global currency devaluation. This is obviously going to terrify a lot of people, but I bought silver at $5 an ounce and gold at $260 an ounce, and I never sold it when it hit $1,900 or when silver hit right at $50. And I'm not going to sell it now, and I'm not going to sell the silver and gold I bought a few months ago. A few times a year, I buy some. Because I've got it as an emergency backup for dying currencies. I don't have it as an investment, even though in the last decade it's been the best overall performing investment. Barron's admits that. CNBC admits that. And so we're going to get Bob Chapman's take on gold and silver, the global markets, what's happening in the stock market right now. Then I want to hit a plethora of other news items and issues, like Michael Moore saying, you know, the rich better raise taxes or it's going to get violent. What he means is Warren Buffett, who's exempt from taxes, wants the middle class's money in banker bailout. See, that's a translation for you of what the man, bear, pig follower is doing. But Bob Chapman, give us in layman's terms what's happening with gold and silver right now.
Well, first of all, you have still ongoing troubles in Europe. The Federal Reserve had to come up with $500 billion in swap. They were accompanied by the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, and the Swiss National Bank, because in the United States, they had about perhaps $1.5 trillion invested in bank paper and other paper in Europe, and they pulled about two-thirds of it. And that left the paper that is usually rolled over without anybody to sell it to. And so the banks were in terrible liquidity shape. And so what happened was that they come up with this money, which they created out of thin air, and they're going to give it to the banks to stay in business. It's the same old, same old. It's the same thing they did in the United States earlier, and probably will have to do again. But it's very unsettled there. Your commentary about what Paul Craig Roberts had to say was excellent. Yes, he did say that, and he was right. But I think this market is being forced, the dollar to the upside, so it won't crash through 71.18 and on the USDX. Excuse me. And you are getting margin selling, particularly in commodities. And I think most of that happened the 2 days before. And you are getting some margin selling affecting gold and silver and the shares, but there's not enough to even consider. I mean, what you're seeing in gold and silver and the shares is an all-out attack by the United States government. I'm just writing a piece for tomorrow's publication, and the first line for the gold and silver section is, Friday ended a week to remember. We haven't seen this kind of action since October the 19th, 1987, when the Fed and the U.S. Treasury rigged the market because it was illegal then. But anyway, it will pass. It'll probably be over, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, and that'll be it. It'll turn around and go right back up again. We had a rally in the Dow. It was up 72 points not too long ago. It's up 30 now. They're trying to keep the market parallel. But underneath this, Wall Street has, in general, along with the banks, demanded that the Fed do this QE3 type of thing. An Operation Twist is that, but it isn't. What it is going in and buying long-term paper. These are notes and bonds of 5, 7, 10, and 30 years.
But it pressures banks to put out more money, so it creates a QE3.
That's true. And they want the banks to draw on the $2 trillion that they have sitting at the Fed.
Well, that was my next question. I had a caller 2 days ago, and finish your point, but then answer it before I forget. I want to ask this question. The guy said, look, I've been in bond trading for a long time, but this is crazy. The dollar's devalued. Everything's falling apart. But then why are, you know, the bond sales up while the yield goes down? He said, ask Bob what's going on with this crazy bond market.
Well, it's the Fed is in the market with money they created out of thin air. And I know that because all of the money that they could have rolled, the Treasury paper, since the middle of June until now, has all been rolled. And they don't have any cash to do that, so they got to create it. And so they're going in the bond market now. They're doing two things. They're forcing the yield down by buying the bonds, making them go up. On the other hand, they're trying to maintain the low yields on the bills particularly, and they are 15, 30, 60, 90, 120, 360, and then you get two-year paper. And they're trying to keep them sacrosanct, so to speak. And so that is what this Operation Twist is all about. It's not going to work. We're looking at this is to get the 30-year mortgage down from 4% to 3%. And they do that by making the bond, the 10-year note, go up and the yield goes down. Mm. The yield, the last time I saw it here, was about 171 or 1.72%, which is outrageous. It's so low. Be as it may, that's why they're doing it. There's 3.8 million homes And we're talking about a total of 8 to 11 million over the next 4 years. And they think, because more people qualify, that lots of people are going to run out and buy homes. It's not going to happen. They also hope that building will rise, putting more people to work.
But as you know, copper's down, which isn't, you know, doing with commodities overall, but it does show that that's a belief that China is going to start slowing. And I want to get your take on what that means. But the stock market is up 21 points right now after dropping at the open earlier. Global stocks in a bear market, and the U.S. is probably next, is what CNBC is saying. So when does the seesaw go back the other way? Because recently, in the last few years, it goes back within just a few weeks. And in your gut, which you're great at guesstimating, how much higher will gold and silver go? Will it immediately retrace its losses, or what's going to happen?
Well, in the market, I think it'll only take 3 to 5 days, because I think the Federal Reserve is going to make some noises about some type of quantitative easing. The last thing they want is the stock market plunging. And if he doesn't come out and say something, it'll probably drop another 1,500 to 2,000 points. And they need that like they need a hole in the head.
So when does gold start going back up? 2 weeks from now?
No, I think we may be seeing the short covering turn in here over the last 2 hours in the regular stock market, which is the December trading months in gold and silver, because spot is in silver and gold have already closed. And I expect moderation, perhaps lower prices. Option expiration for gold and silver is on Tuesday. It's a non-event this time, because everybody in the long side has been wiped out again for the third time in about 4 weeks.
Okay, what about J.P. Morgan saying that they see $2,500 on the low end by December? They're saying they think was that some type of sucker punch before they manipulated it down? Or do you still think that's where it's going?
Oh, I think that's where it's going. And they're serious about it. And this is probably the last correction. And I, quite frankly, I hope it is too. What we've had maybe two people email us regarding the market. They're getting used to these up and downs like jackrabbits, and so they're not concerned about it.
Because the market fundamentals
and,
of inflation.
I've talked to a few brokers, and they tell me the same thing.
So people understand it's the market fundamentals are still there of a devalued currency, so commodities are going to go up.
That's right, and I promise you, very shortly, as we head toward the end of the month, and I get some more money, I'm going to be buying again. I do it every month.
Well, I know.
And I'm going to continue to do it.
I know what Ted Anderson's doing. He's buying in the market with both hands right now, as much silver and gold as he can, because Ted knows it's going to go back up according to the laws of finance. I don't see anything they could do to keep it down like this unless he goes into a full depression now. But then the currency still devalued. So one way or another, gold and silver's got to go up unless they just create a whole new monetary system.
Alex, you're absolutely correct. Perfect. And that's where we're headed. And so all you people who have money to buy more or want to make initial buys in gold and silver coins and bullion or even shares, you go right ahead and do that.
Yeah, well, I am going to go ahead and buy.
That's what I'm going
to do. I'm going to buy today. But I already made some calls this morning to Ted. What I noticed is they're saying silver's down at 30 and gold's dropped a bunch. But Ted's out there looking around. He's not able to get it at that price. So it looks like it's, again, more of a paper mirage.
And I think it's losing its impetus to the downside like it has three times not too long past.
And my point is, you can't really get silver right now at $30 an ounce, even though the ticker says it is. Stay there, paper market versus reality. More with Bob Chapman straight ahead, theinternationalforecaster.com. You can call Midas Resources and get a free copy, 800-686-2237. Stay with us.
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103.
103.
103 is forever when you're just a little kid.
So.
So. Cyrus Jones live forever.
Willie Nelson's going to live forever.
Grave
in our hearts and minds, just like Johnny Cash.
Where you dig my grave?
We make it shallow.
Make it shallow.
So
I can feel the rain.
Grave digger.
Grave digger.
We are here live Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. We're back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. live. We're going to be live this Sunday. I was off last week with an incredible retransmission of InfoWars Nightly News compilations, along with some radio interviews. And then, of course, I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock. Hardest working man in radio, hardest working individual in the InfoWar, period. No one can deny it, because we know how great the stakes are. Now, I want to get into a host of issues, play a short 3-minute clip of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on vaccines, get Bob Chapman's take on that. I want to play this Michael Moore clip, get a quick report from Darren McBreen and Aaron Dykes on the ground for this total federalization martial law takeover drill called Mountain Guardian going on in Denver out there by Northcom, our military governorship. But going back to Bob Chapman, I noticed Fannie Mae's been cited for failing to stop robo-signing, but the federal government is basically citing itself with a slap on the wrist for committing basically financial murder. The state attorney generals are trying to change laws or wave wands to allow them to take houses they don't own. How long can this kleptocracy go, Bob? Because the population is really starting to wake up. I mean, it's just, it's exponential.
That's a hard call. And we've discussed it many times on the program. And I don't have an answer for that. You never know what the trigger is. I always think it's an empty belly, and that has been true from time to time. I just don't know, but, you know, the longer it takes, the more inroads government's going to make and those who control it. But on the other hand, it's going to give us more time to be able to inform more people throughout the world. And it's not only in America, but it's out there throughout the world. We're inundated with subscribers from all over the world. It's incredible. And we just had like 8 of them this morning, just as an example, and that's a lot. You know, those things didn't happen before. So everybody out there is seeking information. And so there's a good and bad side to it. As far as the government citing itself, they knew what was going on. And, you know, I hark back 8 years when I wrote the article that Fannie and Freddie are broke, they're going to be taken over by the government. And needless to say, everybody laughed at me. And, of course, it came true, unfortunately.
Well, you also said that you're... go ahead.
But the important thing, Alex, is that I said that the intent is going to be that government eventually will own all housing. The nationalization of housing. And that's what they're after here. They don't care about 8 or 10 million empty houses. They're going to control them.
Well, they've now said
they know they're not going to sell many houses at 3% 30-year fixed mortgages. The people just don't have the money. There's too many people unemployed, and it's getting worse, not better.
And that was the plan all along when they ordered, Bill Clinton ordered them to start giving these loans out. They knew exactly what they were doing, and then the banks go insolvent, and they get nationalized, just like General Motors. And General Motors moves its plants overseas. Well, here they just basically nationalize it. And now they're talking about letting millions of people stay in their houses under federal control. And they've had federal courts rule that when you're in federal housing, you have no rights. They can come in your house without warrants. The road to total domestication is getting a lot deeper. You also predicted 3 years ago that the euro would implode, but that something even nastier would come out of it. Now they've said global government, private financial union over Europe, holding Europe hostage. And I hear them on Bloomberg and other channels bemoaning democracy in Germany. Those darn Germans look like they're going to throw Merkel out. And so they're saying, don't, and I heard them on Bloomberg, don't worry, we'll still get the takeover. I mean, they are rubbing their hands together, licking their chops in anticipation. How do you see that going?
Well, I was told 2 days ago from Berlin that they think that the bankers who have purchased most of the members of the Bundestag, which is the House of Representatives, and they think that legislation will be passed for this new stability forum, which will call upon members to buy bonds, and that money will be taken to subsidize the six ailing, insolvent countries. And so they expect it to go on and on and on.
Stay there. I want to hear more on Deutschland when we come back. Stay with us.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that.
All right, Bob, I got a host of other news items I want to throw at you. I've got a video clip of my interview with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Like a 25-minute interview, but as Jaron says, this is just her two cents on the fact, get it, it's a pun, Tenpenny, on the fact that this Gardasil forced inoculation they're trying in California is being done by design, that they've altered the vaccine to actually cause autoimmune disease. Not, wouldn't be the first time these companies have been caught doing it. In fact, I'm going to play a clip tonight again on the TV show of one of the top Merck developers of vaccines admitting they put leukemia virus and other things in a whole bunch of different vaccines. So that's coming up this evening, InfoWars Nightly News. But I wanted you to finish up briefly with how this is going to go in Europe. Because 3 years ago, you said, you watch, the euro is going to break up. And on deeper research, you've got a lot of globalists have said the euro was set up as a receivership arm to destroy sovereignty, not to be part of a union, and then to hand it over to a private corporate union. And we've seen this now in country after country. So how do you see this ending? Because the bankers will always take more, because they've bought off the government and own the whore media, the dominant dinosaur zombie media, just like zombie banks, propped up and force-fed. By the way, Dew gave me an email last night with the document. I forgot to get this to Watson and get an article out. Homeland Security has now announced they're going to put TVs in our cars and bombard us with forced messages. That is so huge. That just popped in my head that I have that since yesterday and have not given it to, or Watson didn't see it in the email. We've got to get an article out on that right now. My head is just spinning the amount of info coming in right now, ladies and gentlemen. But, I mean, how long can this go on, Bob?
It can go on quite a long time, and I'll tell you why. If the Bundestag passes the approval to allow this financial stability group to take care of the problems of the ailing members, then what they can do is issue bonds, and they can extend this whole thing as long as there are buyers for the bonds within the Eurozone group of 17 or the EU group of 27 in total. And so if they get that ability, what this does is the countries are forced to participate in the bond offerings unless they're recipients of the subsidy. And that effectively takes away their sovereignty because the national banks will take, like the Bundesbank, it won't have any more control. And next, what they'll do through that agency of stability, they will then demand that the internal finances of each state be run by this stability facility. And so they want to take the sovereignty away from all of the countries, the ability to make their own budgets, to have their own spending. They will be told what they can do and what they can't do. And it will all be centralized in this stability group. And this is what Mrs. Merkel is pushing for. You know, she's from the former Eastern Germany, Mecklenburg, West Pomerania. And that was a hive of pro-communist, pro-Soviet activity. I know, I used to spy on them. And so how she ever got into the CDU, I'll never know. She's certainly not middle of the road by any stretch of the
imagination. Well, look at who the Bilderberg Group puts in as the head of the euro, admitted communist von Rumpy, the whole lot of them. That's who the bankers put in is communist because they want all the money transferred to themselves. There's no end to this tyranny, and we've got to deal with it. Now, I want to play a clip dealing with vaccines with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. just an excerpt of our interview. We'll be back in about 3 minutes to get Bob Chapman's take on this. Then we're going to look at a couple other big issues that we're facing dealing with eugenics. Then we're going to get a pop in from Aaron Dykes and Derek McBreen on the ground for the urban warfare martial law takeover drill in Denver. But here's a clip from InfoWars Nightly News last night. There are so many TV shows, movies about Megadeth, billions dead, not a question of if but when. You've got to get the shot. And when you learn that this vaccine industry is a $100 billion industry a year or more, you really see that this is product placement, propaganda placement, and that's the race in the hole is just scaring the daylights out of people.
Absolutely. And the vision statement of the pharmaceutical industry, which I learned this from a pharmaceutical insider, said that the vision statement of the entire industry is to have every single human on the planet on a minimum of 2 daily pharmaceutical drugs for their entire life. Well, how better to do that than to start with young children and making them terribly sick and have all sorts of things from asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD that you can't really connect. Somebody told me that there was a line from that movie Contagion that said, you know, we need to make this vaccine because if 10 years from now, it's causing autism, nobody will be able to connect the dots. And that's exactly what they're setting up. They want everybody sick because that promotes their widgets.
Have you found the eugenics angle in your research?
I have, and I think that it's, what a lot of people say, and I would have to agree, that when, you know, World War II was over, everybody just traded in their uniforms for white coats and business suits. Nothing changed. It was life. Things just went on as usual. And I do believe that there is definitely a sinister side. And the problem that bothers me the most, Alex, is what's wrong with the 800,000 physicians in this country that they just march to the tomb of the drug companies, that they're not willing to look at any of this information or very little of it. They don't know what's coming through that needle and being injected into adults and children. And they just absolutely stand by it and take people like me and you and other people who are exposing the truth colleagues and other physicians say you're just saying all the wrong things. It's just really not
true.
I'll
tell you why. They've been following this system so long, they don't want to admit they were conned and were wrong, and so they're now committed to it. And I think they deceive us by even calling these vaccines. These are more nanotech re-engineered viruses. I mean, now they've got the new classes coming out that re-engineer the brain and attack neurons that would uptake endorphins that, you know.
The fun vax.
Exactly. They're saying, no, don't be depressed anymore. I mean, this is really Buck Rogers type re-engineering of society. And they just call it vaccines. And they think, well, this is like the polio vaccine. We're saving people. Yeah, saving them with hundreds of millions exposed to cancer viruses.
Well, think about all of these girls that we were talking about just a few minutes ago that would get these injections of Gardasil, and it could be any of the. There's now kids now get 40 doses of 16 different vaccines by the time they start kindergarten. And one of the things that people have to realize when they're listening to this, and it's school season, school just started, and across the country they've been telling people that parents no shots, no school. Well, my answer to that is no shots, no school, not true. Every state except West Virginia and Mississippi have either a philosophical exemption or a medical exemption for you to opt out of your children being inoculated with all of these things. So there are a lot of ways that you can stop it. But every one of these vaccines all have horrible potential side effects. There is nothing that can come through a needle and to try to keep you healthy that you can't do for yourself just by your own diet, exercise, vitamin D, vitamin C, and all those things.
Well, Doc, that's another example of the hoax.
Exactly.
They continue to say it's the law, you've got to take it, and that's what's so wonderful about Perry being caught. We called him, it came out he didn't have the authority, it wasn't the law, and now he has to apologize, and all the other candidates are against him. Okay, there was an excerpt of the hour-long nightly news. Some nights it's 2 hours, it'll always be at least 30 minutes. We've never done only a 30-minute show. And as I beta test it and hone it, we're going to end up with a 30-minute show every night that then goes into a special report for another 30 so that cable systems that want an hour-long show can get it, or if you want a 30-minute show, you can get it. And then we're going to expand it over time into a 2-, 3-, 4-hour show and other news transmissions here out of our offices. We're even looking at doing a comedy show and a lot more dealing with satire. Going back to Bob Chapman. Bob, what do you think of what Sherry Tenpenny was saying? I mean, she's a mainline medical doctor. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I bring up eugenics. She wouldn't go there. In the full interview, she was she volunteered that this has been clearly purposefully bound to the adjuvant so that it attacks and causes an autoimmune response. Well, that's what Gardasil's been doing in its five-year history. So it's designed to do that, and here's Sherry Tenpenny agreeing. I mean, these people are monsters, and now in California, it's on the governor's desk to shoot the kids up without parental consent. I mean, this is getting to be war here.
And it is war. And I read about that latter statement that you just made. I was appalled. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Giving children shots without telling their parents? I mean, it shows you how far afield these nincompoops who call themselves politicians, they're out of sight.
Well, a nincompoop, though, well, Lord Monckton called them nincompoops the other day. A nincompoop, I really disagree with you, Bob, but a nincompoop is an idiot. These are cold-blooded psychopathic killers, but are you saying they're nincompoops because they think they're going to get away with it?
Yes, that's what I mean. Now that you've given me an exit.
No, but, I mean, you've been around these folks. I mean,
it's horrible. I mean, I carry this stuff in my health section, and not very many newsletters that aren't devoted to health have a health section, but I haven't had one from the very beginning. I haven't had shots for anything since I was in the Army. And you know, we do vitamins, minerals, and herbs and have for 48 years, and it probably is one of the reasons why I'm as healthy and able to do the job load that I do. And so I'm very interested in health. But they are poisoning us. They are especially honing in on poisoning our children so that they will become users of our medicine.
Bob, in the final segment coming up, I want to get to this incredible article dealing with Cameron going to the UN and the UN agreeing that they want to start, quote, more humanitarian invasions where they finance the rebels and then come in and bombard and call it peace. And that dovetails with UN Security Council announces new green helmets, peacekeepers that will invade areas that aren't taking care of the earth. And now they've begun. The New York Times basically endorses it. Armed troops burn down homes, kill children to evict Ugandans in name of global warming. They're forcing them through a World Bank operation off their hereditary land to plant trees on it for carbon offsets. And the liberals are hailing this. They shot and burned the children up, and they're actually hailing it. So a new level in psychopathic behavior from the trendy Nazis. Now, before we get to that with Bob Chapman, I want to bring up and then get Bob's take on it. Aaron Dykes and then a comment from Darren McBreen, who we barely had a chance to talk to earlier. They're in Denver for this forest guardian, I'm talking about the mass murder, sorry, mountain guardian situation. I know you guys have been to some more drills now. You've been at SWAT team takeovers of schools, all federally directed. Aaron, what have you witnessed in the last 2 hours?
Alex, we just had major updates on a part of the press release where they admit they're using the sports stadium here. Out of breath, we've just been checking with sources. They're using the sports stadium to test the processing, and then we confirm with the source at the stadium that although they won't let us in, there's been school buses arrived with teachers and children. So that's your FEMA processing center right there.
Well, that goes back to a program. Wow, I hear out of breath. Catch your breath for a minute, Aaron. But you got to get up on a tall building. And I doubt they'll let you rent a helicopter right now during one of these drills. You've got to get it because that's what they did in Chicago but wouldn't let Dew and Douglas into that, and I'm sick of it. And that's usually the real drill, and they practice at these whenever there's an emergency. In fact, I've got to get a hold of Watson. The Washington Post, remember 5 years ago, reported that in emergencies, they're going to take your kids away from you, take them to sports stadiums till you agree to come turn your guns in to get them. That's how they get you in, the people they want in custody. They grab your kids out of the school and make you come to get them, and then you're never seen again. You've confirmed. Tell us the sources if you can. Obviously, we knew when they wouldn't let media in the sports stadium exactly what's happening.
The first source is the actual news advisory, which gives the layout of the entire exercise. On the bottom paragraph of page one, it talks about the use of Catholic Charities and the Sports Authority field at Mile High Stadium, which has been renamed from Invesco to Sports Authority, to test student-teacher processing activities, a little code word of theirs. Meanwhile, we were getting the runaround at the stadium, but one of the employees tipped us off that, yes, the buses were coming in, and no press was allowed. They're only allowed in the parking lot more than, I don't know, a quarter mile away.
We're going to check the Alex Jones channel at YouTube. Kurt Nemo's updating as we go. But we first
just did a major update.
Yeah, well, we first just learned about this in 2000, pre-9/11. We got photos sent by listeners. We called the school. It was in the Ozarks on the Arkansas-Oklahoma border. No, Arkansas-Missouri border. We've got articles on InfoWars. I've got to pull them. They're from 10 years ago, or more than 10 now, almost 11. And in that, they were practicing taking kids away from their families to a FEMA center. So you're saying that is indeed going on, and you have their press release. Were you able to get footage of the vehicles driving in?
Well, Alex, this is Aaron now, and we're on our way. Like Aaron might have just told you, we've just been tipped off that there are school buses loaded with children.
Oh, my God.
Being driven in on the other side. So we're going to go over there real quick.
Yeah. Get in the car. Get in the car. Drive while we talk. Get in the car.
Okay. Drive while we talk.
Yeah, get over there. So you just got...
We've also been told that residents in the area, they've been warned to expect loud noises, explosions, and smoke. We've witnessed all three. We're also seeing a huge, there's a military presence. And right now, we're going to drive on the other side and see if we can catch these school buses entering the stadium.
Yeah, what this is learned helplessness. They train the children to go with the men in black uniforms and disappear. And they admit, I remember Mark Kornke talking about this 15 years ago, and I halfway didn't believe it, that they'll take you to a sports stadium and make your parents come, and then they arrest you there. And then sure enough, it was confirmed later. I mean, this government is so diabolical that they've got the preachers training to tell people to go to FEMA camps. Guys, you get me Nemo in here.
We feel lucky that we got tipped off because I'm telling you, they really tried to keep us from entering the stadium. In fact, they wanted us far from the entrances. And we're surprised that the press was here, and thus far we haven't seen any other media in this area. So they're really keeping it hush-hush.
Yeah, let me guess, because this is always an exercise in distractions. They were probably telling you, go to this event, or go to this train event, or go here. Just don't go to the sports stadium. Obviously, remember I told you before you flew out yesterday, I said, sports stadium, sports stadium. I said, if you have to, split up and have somebody stake out that sports stadium. And I meant to tell Aaron before he ran out to get the telephoto video camera. You guys, are there any skyscrapers you can get in to shoot video off the roof into there?
Well, there's a lot of high area, high ground around this stadium that we'll definitely try to do that.
They're not going to want you to see this, because after the kids go in, you watch, they're going to have simulations of parents arriving and they're going to be arrested. Oh, we may actually have them. Like, I shouldn't even be talking about it. They may cancel that part of the drill. We've got to get this key evidence. Of course, I've already videotaped it before with the Marines doing it. Nobody seems to care. All right, stay there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get Bob Chapman's take on this. We may go into overdrive. Regardless, tonight on the Nightly News, we'll cover it. Okay, Aaron is shooting a live report that's going up to our Alex Jones YouTube channel. Kurt Nemo is updating InfoWars with these new videos as they come in. We're also going to be doing a report tonight at InfoWars Nightly News, 7 o'clock Central, and throughout the weekend, obviously Sunday, 4 to 6, with the Sunday News show. We like to be on at least 6 days a week to cover everything that's happening. When you really wake up is when you go to an urban warfare drill and you witness the people playing the part of Americans with families being broken up and firearms being confiscated. And troops asking, where'd you get the firearms? And they say, I got it from here. I'm from San Francisco. Then you go back to your hotel room, CNN's there with you, and they're reporting they're training for fighting in Bosnia. And you're like, whoa, this is creepy. So, yes, they are. And I've got Kurt back there pulling the Washington Post and stuff. They do have plans, just like the Soviets did, to take your kids to a camp, then make you come turn yourself in. You think you're going to pick them up, and they run you through a list, and then, boom, you get loaded on a truck and rolled out to the gulag, whatever the case is. And the federal government now admits they've made a list of Americans for Roundup. Well, you know what you do with Soviets when they come. All right. I mean, I'm sorry it's getting to this point, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to peacefully fix things, but you don't have to go in a ditch and be shot in the back of the head by the feds, who are training, by the way, in all these drills to take on, quote, disgruntled veterans. I want to go back to Aaron, who I can hear shooting a report in the background, so I won't go to him quite yet. We're going a little bit of overdrive with him. Bob Chapman, what's your view on what you're hearing right now?
Well, it's something I expected 40 years ago. It took a long time to get here. I'm like you. I'm very unhappy that it's happened, but we can't stop what's going on with the government unless we can get people in Congress that will stop them, and whether that'll happen or not remains to be seen. But yes, they want to control everybody, and they certainly want to get guns away from people, and they do want to train and control impressionable young people. These kids, I coach kids for 35 years. I know how it works, how children react to things and how trusting and pure, really, they are as children. And they're easy marks for these people.
Now, Bob, I want to hold you over for 5 minutes into internet-only overdrive so we can get more of a report from Aaron and your comment on it. But let's not forget the Emergency Centers Establishment Act that says, oh, it's community areas during collapse, but also the bad guys, the political dissidents, will have to be separated and put in a chained area. But you're lucky to be allowed into the camp during the banker implosion. This is all just acclimating locals about people being taken to camps. Oh, it's just children for now. It's all part of drilling this and finding out who on the police departments says something or is aware of what's going on. This is all multifaceted so the feds can probe the enemy as they see us, the American people. This is a federal government that works for foreign banks. Aaron, it's key in your reports, because people are watching these big time, to point out the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, the clergy response teams. This all dovetails in with everything else. What are you now seeing, Aaron Dykes?
Alex, this thing is a labyrinth, but we finally got to the southeast tunnel entrance, and we have seen the safety officer vehicle for Denver Public Schools, and we are looking at a bus marked special. It's not a yellow school bus, but it's a kind of city bus, and it's that special. It's parked in the southeast tunnel. We don't know how many other buses are in there. There's also a crowd of people buying T-shirts or something, but we've been confronted by some of the security. Although we haven't left yet, Alex.
Well, just tell them. I mean, they told you to leave. You're in America trying to show what they're doing with public school kids. Look, here's the deal. Okay, Aaron, Kurt's doing a report. I want you to do a report for YouTube holding up the document they gave you admitting it's kids. That's important, A. What did security say to you?
They were speaking to McBreen while I was checking out the other activities, but we're still looking right at that bus. And like I said, we saw the Denver Public Schools safety officer vehicle.
Yeah, and remember, and by the way, correct media has been told they're not allowed in and to stay away, right?
That's right.
Stay there. We're going into overdrive. Stay with us. We'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News. Okay, America is being trained to live like prisoners, TSA sticking their hands down our pants, NFL football games, everything is an exercise in being a prisoner. They're training law-abiding citizens to be cowardly prisoner ex-con types. Bob Chapman's riding shotgun with us for 5 more minutes. Aaron Dykes, you got cut off by the break. Specifically, is security telling you to get out of there? Because I don't want you to get arrested again.
Listen, Alex, security has not told us to leave yet. However, DPS security is on their way to talk to us.
Yeah. So-called security in America to stop free press from actually seeing what they're doing with kids. They are the people that need to be exposed. They are the danger.
But we've also been tipped off that another school bus is imminently arriving. So we're going to try to park and play by the rules so we can stick around and see that happening.
It's just incredible in America. You're going to get questioned by cop after cop, and then they'll finally tell you to leave. Like, you're wrong to want to show what they're doing in America with kids. I would just say, look, I got a First Amendment, but if you want to sit here on camera and say that I can't show what you're doing with these kids, okay, just tell me. And then go. They try to put people in jail for life for filming cops now. This country is run by foreign bankers. I'm just so sick of it. Aaron, anything else you want to add here?
Alex, they're being friendly. They're just here for our security, so.
Yeah, exactly. Roll up your sleeve, take some more shots, cancer rate
I'm
troubles.
Really glad the city's on lockdown.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. They've used this basically to lock down the city, correct?
Large parts of downtown are completely blocked off, yeah. Although, obviously, there's still activity going on.
Yeah, they're using the threat of fake terror to set up martial law in America, and this is all acclamation. Let me talk to McBreen real quick and get his take on this.
Yeah, Mr. McBreen. This is Darren.
All right, Darren, we've only got a minute or two left, and I want to get Bob to pop in with a final word, but what's your take on what you're seeing?
You know, it's even crazier than I was expected. We're being told that this drill is something bigger than, on the scale of 9/11. They said it was even bigger. What authorities are referring to, the word I hear, Alex, is catastrophic, is what they're drilling for. So we're just trying to get a better look inside. We were told that another school bus is on the way, so Aaron and I are going to try to talk to the authorities here. I think we found someone to talk to and try to bring back some footage.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's why I sent you, because I've learned the biggest drills are in Denver. And every time I've missed it, so that's why I heard another Denver drill that they weren't really making a big deal out of. I said, we've got to get there. So we're catching some key intel. We'll obviously have more tonight, 7 o'clock, and you guys are uploading directly to PrisonPlanet.tv, and you're uploading to YouTube. And if you have to, go to Justin TV. If they start giving you a problem, go right to live transmission. You've got two different transmitter systems, so make sure you do that. Great job, Darren and Aaron. Keep me abreast of the situation. We'll see you 7 o'clock tonight.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Bob, in closing, I mentioned armed troops burn down homes, kill children to evict Ugandans in name of global warming. And the New York Times and others say this is part of saving the Earth. Now they have UN World Bank murder forces actually burning and shooting and killing and driving people off their own land in Africa. How's that sound, Bob?
It's been going on for over 100 years. I used to live in Africa. And, you know, you have one war after another, one dictator after another. But the bottom line is really this. Extermination. Getting rid of useless eaters. And that's what it's all really about in Africa. And then, of course, they move in and retake over all the natural resources. You know, they gave them all up to the tribes that lived in the different countries. Now they're going to exterminate them. And once they finish doing that, then they'll take them back over again.
And that was always the plan. Well, the issue here is it's the World Bank and these greenie groups are actually saying it's for the Earth. And then I've got the London Guardian. UN says it's part of a green helmet operation, a new climate abuser force. If you're bad and hurt the Earth, they're coming for you.
Now that's right. And you're going to see more of it. And it's all this terrorist concept. If you don't do what they think you should do, you're a terrorist. And you have to be taken away or incarcerated or you have to be reoriented or reschooled so that you understand why they're doing is...
Bob, you're so awesome. We're out of time. See you back next Friday, Lord willing.